This is a great chapter. Are you excited that we're going to look at this chapter tonight? I say Colossians 3 and you say, okay, no big deal. But it's a big deal. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now we talk about what it is to be risen with Christ. Romans chapter 6 says, our old man is crucified with Christ. When I got saved, something died in me. That old nature was dead. And you know what we did with it? We buried it in the waters of baptism. It says, in fact, in Romans 6, it says that we are risen to walk in newness of life. So the old me was buried and a new me came out of that water ready to live for Jesus, ready to represent the resurrection of our Savior. And it says that if that's happened to you, right? If ye then be risen with Christ. So if you are saved, that means your old nature is dead. But what you need to do is get baptized and get a new nature when you come out of that water. Now, I know it's symbolic. I know it's an illustration. But if you recall, it was when Jesus came out of that water that something significant happened. What happened? The Holy Spirit descended upon him, didn't he? And it began his ministry. Those were the years of ministry. I mean, he'd been Jesus the whole time. He'd been the Son of God the whole time. He was there when he said, let there be light. He was part of that. Let us make man in our image. Jesus was there. But now he was going into ministry in the church. And it was during those following days that he would call to him these men that we now call apostles. And then from there, the church would grow even larger and gather many crowds many times. But he was reaching the lost and reaching those who had hope but didn't know what to hope in. And he says to us, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we're talking about the throne of God and Jesus there on the right hand of God. And so what are we seeking? We're seeking the heart of God. We're seeking the mind of God. We're seeking the Spirit of God. I want to know my Creator. I want to know my Lord, my Savior. I want to know my Father. I want to know Him. And He says, set your affection, verse 2, on things above. Where should our heart be? What should we be looking for? What does God want? Who is He? What's this all about? We kind of get lulled in to just going with the flow, don't we? Go to work, go to bed, go to work, go to bed. Oh, fold some laundry, or at least wash it. I might not fold it at all. But, you know, do the dishes, go to work, go to bed. And we get lulled into this repetitive habit and this repetitive life, but he wants us to see something bigger and broader. He wants us to understand what it's all about. You know, people argue about, you know, evolution versus creation and about history and nature and science and versus faith. Guys, it all works together because he said, let there be light, and there was light. A friend of mine said, and that's when the Big Bang occurred, and he's right. And so if you imagine, you want to say there's a big bang, go to Genesis chapter 1 and you'll find the bang right there. He stepped out of nowhere onto nothing and created everything. That's our God. And he says, set your affection. So seek those things, seek God's heart, mind, and will, and set our affections there also. Love God. What did Jesus say? He said, I know there's a lot of rules. Not only what God handed down to Moses and the people, but what all these others have added to it. And he said, I want to simplify it just like this. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. And your neighbor as yourself. If we do that. And so verse 2, he says, set your affection. What do we love? Do we just love this world? I hear people at a celebration of life and they'll say, well, I hope Uncle John's up there running the woods with his dogs. Okay. I got news for you. Heaven's not like that. Running the swamps and catching fish. Well, you know, I've never been there, and I can't say absolutely it's not there, but I can tell you this, that's not what the Bible describes. And so when we set our affection on heaven and we love the things of heaven, we won't love as much those things on the earth. You see, there was a time in your life, maybe, when you fell in love with somebody. And there could have been lots of other people, right, that had all the same qualities, but you gave your heart to that one and you loved that one. Now, it may have lasted a long time or not. But what he's saying is, we've given our hearts to God, we ought to love Him, and everything else just falls out of view. Everything else just falls into the background. Set your affection on things above. Verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members. And so something in us, those acts, those thoughts, those desires, like I said, will just fade away. If I love God enough, I can give up anything. If I love God enough and I believe that it upsets God, I'll stop doing it. Right? Isn't that what you understand? Because I know that there have been people who have given up some things because their wife or their husband or their boyfriend or their girlfriend didn't like it. Now, if we can give it up for a person, surely we can give those things up for God. Surely we can change for God. And he says in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Get rid of that stuff. He describes it. Look at what he says. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. You see, if we love those things, do we really love God? Really, what he's saying is that we're cheating on God when we have such affection for the world. When we love the world so much, we are committing adultery against our God. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. Anger doesn't have any place in our lives. Don't raise your hand, but don't we get angry sometimes? Sure we do. Any of you ever spit nails? I've heard of it. I've never seen it done. I'm so mad I could spit nails. If any of y'all ever do that, take a video. I'd like to see it. But we get angry, don't we? Hey, I've said before, we cannot always control how we react to something. That's based on our experience. But we can control how we process it. I may get angry about it, but then when I calm down, I can get my head about me, my wits about me, my patience back in check, and I can get over it. And I can forgive. And I can even apologize for my reaction. And so he says, we've got to put away anger. And we've got to put away wrath. Wrath, that's just out of control anger, isn't it? It's even violence. Malice. What is malice? Can you give me another word for it? A pahokee word? Can you got any of those? Hate. Hatred. Yeah. Pure hate. Now, again, I won't ask you to identify yourself. But if you've got hate in your heart, he says, put it off. Get it out of there. Because I'll tell you something, it's eating you more than it's eating the one you're hating. In fact, if they knew you hated them, it'd probably make them happy. Blasphemy. That is to exalt anything that is not God. To put down anything that is godly. Filthy communication. And we think of filthy communication. We think of that list of words that you're not supposed to be able to say on television, which, by the way, seems like they get to saying it more and more. Even children using that kind of language these days. And you know they heard it from somebody. I hope they didn't hear it from you. Filthy communication. We think about those words, but it could also be malicious words. It could be gossip, rumors, and those kind of things. Keep that filthy communication out of your mouth. Then in verse 9, he says, and lie not to one another. You know, when we trust others, we won't lie. If I trust you, I won't lie. Let's say I messed up. Okay, it's not a far stretch, is it? I messed up. You found out I messed up, and you come to me and say, Brother Derek, I understand you did this. Now, if I trust you, I'll say, yeah, you know, I really messed up. But if I don't trust you, I'll lie to you. Isn't that a shame? Because it tells more about me than it does about you. But I'm lying because I say, well, I didn't want to tell them the truth because they might get mad. No, it's not about them. It's about you. When you trust people, you won't lie to them. He says, lie not to one another. We have put off that old man. We buried that old man. We buried him. He's dead. He's gone. We're new in Christ. We've been resurrected from the baptismal waters. That's a new life, full of Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, set in our affections, seeking those things which are above. He says in verse 10, you've put on the new man. Look at what he said in verse number 8. He said, put off. You see that? In verse number 10, he says, you have put on. I think there's the problem with some people is they said they put off the old man, but they never put on the new man. And you know what happened? That old man crept back in. Jesus tells us a story of a man who had a demon. Remember that? Said he had a demon, and the demon left for a period of time. And, well, that man cleaned up his act, you know, probably went and got a shower and a haircut and a shave and got some fresh clothes on and cleaned his house, and everything was good. His life was good. His mind was good. His emotions were good. And that demon came back. And that demon said, hey, you know, it's cleaned up in here. I need to go get my friends and show them this. And he brought back 7 other demons, right? More wicked than he was. And the end of that man was worse than the first. Guys, it's not just about cleaning up our act. It's about putting on the new man, that new creature in Christ. How do we do that? Seeking those things which are above, setting our affection on things which are above, spending time with God. How do we do that? Read His book. You know, this is the one book. I don't know if you know a lot of people that write books. This is the one book, when I read it, the author is right there with me. Always. And I can look to Him and He can show me His Word. He can reveal His Word to me. Put on that new man. Look at what He says. Which is renewed in knowledge. How do I get new knowledge? How do I get a new way of looking at things? How do I start to see people as they are and not just as I used to see them? How do I start to understand that hurt people hurt people? That when people are wicked, when people are mean, when people are hateful, it's because there's something in them. It has little to do with me. When people are grouchy, it tells me about them. And so we begin to treat people differently and understand they need love and they need compassion and they need kindness. They don't need us to fuss back. What happens when you bark at a dog? What will it do? Y'all have never done this? It'll be fun. You should go do it sometime. If you bark at a dog, what will it do? It'll bark back. And what will happen if you don't stop? It won't stop either, and you'll just be there barking at each other. And what happens when somebody tries to engage you in an argument and you argue back? Here we go. He says we have new knowledge after the image of Him that created Him, after the image of God, renewed in knowledge. We're thoughtful, we're deliberate, until it becomes second nature. There are some things in our lives that we don't just get up in the morning and want to do. My kids don't get up in the morning and want to go to school. Chloe got up this morning. Boy, she come out. She was so pleasant, so happy. And she just plopped down on the couch. And then Kendra said, need to get ready for school. She said, we have school. Y'all's kids don't do that, do they? We have school. Yeah, do you have school? Y'all seen the Tasmanian devil, right? Same sound. What happened? What changed her? Well, I could tell you she was not thoughtful and deliberate in her desire to go to school. She didn't wake up and say, oh, yeah, school today. Hey, we have school today, don't we? She didn't do that. But see, if she would change her heart, and if we would change our, hey, it's Monday, right? The beginning of the work week, school week. This is the day that the Lord has made. Is that what we do? That's what we should do. Because I'll tell you something. If we start off by going, oh, no, it's Monday, it's going to stay that way. We might as well be excited. Get up Sunday morning. All right, we get to go to church today. All right, it's Wednesday. I get to go to church. All right, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I get to go jogging. No, let's not do that. But I'll tell you what, so you understand though, if you started doing that, you would wake up excited to do that. You know why? Because you did it deliberately until it became part of your nature. You know, there are people who cannot even imagine a morning when they don't get up and go exercise. You know why? Because they were deliberate and they were thoughtful and they planned it, and now it's just part of who they are. It's their routine. Just like us when we go to church. It's just part of who we are. You get up and you have prayer. You get up and you read your Bible. It's thoughtful. It's deliberate until it becomes second nature. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever forgotten to have a cup of coffee in the morning? Just forgot. Got to work and said, oh, I forgot to drink coffee today. Why? Because what happens is we get up and automatically we make that coffee. Some do. I know not everyone does. Get up and drink that coffee. Get up and have breakfast. Get up and we have a routine. You know why? Because we formed a routine out of deliberation, out of habit. It was intentional until it became automatic. Same thing with spiritual things. But we've got to change our heart and change our thinking and change our spirit and change our perception by mortifying our fleshly ways. We've got to be on purpose. Look at what he says again in verse number 12. He said, put on. Remember we saw in verse 10, put on. And now in verse 12, put on. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and longsuffering. He said, put it on. Verse 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. God forgave you. Can you forgive others? If you're holding resentment, if you are not forgiving people, that is a problem. And it is standing in the way of God's blessing in your life. You've got to get that. You say, well, how can that stand in the way of my blessing? Guys, it's not something God's holding back. It's something you're holding back. Put it on, he says. Verse 14, and above all these things, there it is again, put on. Put on. You get up in the morning, you put on your shoes, right? Put on your coat, put on your shoes. Put it on. It's automatic. You got to put it on. What happens if you don't? You show up to work barefooted and people say, what's wrong with you? But when we have that Christian mentality, that Christian spirit about us, and we're putting on charity and we're putting on forbearance and we're putting on the peace of God, all those things, we're putting it on. And we show up on Monday and nothing's changed. You know why? Because that's what they expect of us. But what happens that morning? We don't put it on. And we show up grumpy and grouchy and sour and nasty. And go, what happened to you? I didn't put on Jesus this morning. I didn't put on the new man. We got to do it till it becomes so natural to us that we don't think about it. We just do it. We get up and we have prayer. We get up and we read our Bible. We get up and we, you know, sing to the Lord and sing praises and whistle and hum and all those things that we do and kind of skip while we walk because Jesus is in our heart. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule. This is one of the biggest things. We talked about suicide the other day. Had a class on that. The increase in suicide, mental health has grown so much with the pandemic. People being shut in and isolated, just time to think. They didn't have things to do. It's increased 30% among teenagers. Suicide. The rates are up 50%. Why? You know why? Because people don't let the peace of God rule. There's some things that God's going to do and I have no control over it. Can you decide when Jesus is coming back? No. I can't decide that. I can't do anything about it. Can you decide when your loved one is going to pass away? I mean, outside of murder. No, you can't. We love them. We pray for them. We want them to be strong. We want them to be healthy. We don't control that. At some point, it doesn't matter. You say, well, Pastor, I had to pull the plug. Doesn't matter. I've seen people pull the plug and they keep living anyway. You don't control that. God controls that. We could take away artificial means and God is still in control. And so, let the peace of God rule. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. What does that mean? It means put it to work in your life. Put it to work in your life. the Word of God. This Bible is so full of practical counsel. There's a proverb for each day of the month. Practical. I mean, finances, marriage, children, neighbors, business, all of these, it's all there. If we would read that one proverb, today is the first, so we start with the first proverb. Read one every day, and it'll change the way you look at the world, and it'll change the way you do your business, because you'll have God's influence in your daily life. We need to let the Word of God dwell richly. Look at what he says. He says, teaching, admonishing, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We need to read it. We need to sing it. We need to share it. We need to recite it. Get in the Word. Those psalms are songs. Get you a psalm and sing it. You say, what's the tune? Doesn't matter. Make one up. Sing it. That's what it's there for. We get our hymn books out and we sing, and man, it's wonderful. We sing wonderful words of life. Are we singing it with our heart? Verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Giving thanks. Are we thankful? Guys, look at what we've got. If you are able to eat today, thank God. If you are able to get up and walk on your own today, thank God. If you've got vision and hearing and taste and thank God. Look at all the people that don't have what we've got. That's just talking about the basic things. Look around the world at all the people that don't have all the luxuries we have. We're very blessed. Be thankful. Be thankful. Give thanks to God. Verse number 18, he goes into some specifics. He talks to wives and husbands and children and fathers and servants. And we could take that word servant, and that means anybody that has a job and answers to somebody else. And he says in verse 23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. As to the Lord. If you're going to cut grass, cut it like it's God's grass. If you're going to trim trees, trim it like it's God's trees. If you're going to wash cars, wash it like it's God's car. If you're going to pump gas, pump it like you're pumping it into God's car. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. You know why? Because he's the one we answer to. He's the one we answer to. I've always thought it would be a terrible thing for a pastor to complain about his church and keep taking his paycheck every week. And I think it's a terrible thing for an employee to fuss about his boss all the time and keep working there and getting paid. Now, I'm not saying quit your job. I'm saying look at what you got and appreciate it. Look at what we've got and say, thank God. Now, look, I know everybody's got people we can't work with or don't want to work with or can't get along with, but we can try. And be easy to get along with. Let the peace of God and the Word of God rule and dwell richly in us. If ye be risen in Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and been buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We love you. We love your Word, and we thank you for this privilege we've had to be together tonight in your house. God, show us this week how to apply these words in our lives, to be a blessing to others, to be an example to others, to point them to you. Forgive our sins, dismiss us with your grace, and bring us back again. In Jesus' name, amen.